In this first Sunday of Christmas, I think we're invited to reflect on and think about how we are called to live in the light of Christ entering this world, in light of Christ making us children of God. And so we hear today that there is some growth involved as children. Jesus and Samuel are both children in our stories who are to grow in divine and human favor. And so we know we are to grow as well. And we hope that this growth occurs in both divine and human favor. And I think we get some ideas of how we are to live in ways that would promote the kind of growth God would look for in our reading from Colossians. We hear that we are to be clothed with kindness, compassion, gentleness, meekness, humility, and patience, and love. These are the things we are to aspire to, we are to focus on in our lives. And of course, we can run into some trouble with this because we discover that human favor doesn't always come to us for practicing these attributes of kindness, compassion, gentleness, humility, patience, and love. These can be overlooked. We can be ignored for acting in such ways. And when this happens, we can grow discouraged. Because one of the problems we have is that we often want to link human favor and divine favor. So when humans don't pay attention to us for behaving in these ways or ignoring us, we think God must be ignoring us as well. Or we think that God must not be able to grant us the favor that we would want. Or a whole host of thoughts can occur that would ultimately discourage us or have us go after other means of securing favor. Or we just think we couldn't possibly do it and give up. We wouldn't want to grow in this way anymore. Or, of course, there's the flip side, where we do have human favor, and that makes us think we also have divine favor. And sometimes this will make us think that that whole kindness, compassion, humility, love thing, that wasn't really that important. We found ways to gain favor in other avenues, and clearly God must sign off on those too if we are to have such favor. Or we can think, if we receive such human favor, if people like us, we can think we're doing these things well. Well, we must be kind, compassionate, gentle, patient, loving people. If others around us like us, we must be good people then. Of course, we know this may not always be true, but when we think in this way, we're often very willing to take Paul's admonitions in the end of our reading about teaching one another with all wisdom and understanding. Because we will be certain we have all wisdom and understanding. We will be happy to tell people how they should live so that they can be more like us. And so that they can be good people like we are. And that we would like everybody to conform to our expectations of how they should be and function in this world. And we would be upset with them if they did not. We might even say we would grow a little anxious if people didn't match our expectations for how they should be. And I think this is more true the closer people are to us, especially emotionally. The people that we really care about, we want to behave in ways that make sense to us. We want them to get it right, so to speak. And I think we see this going on in our gospel reading today. Mary and Joseph know what they should be doing. They are going up to Jerusalem annually to celebrate the Passover, all in accordance with the law. They have done this every year so far. They've had 11 years with Jesus. They have been teaching Jesus, this is what we do. We go up to Jerusalem for the Passover, and then we go back to Nazareth. And for 11 years, this is what has happened. So they expect Jesus to follow the teaching that they have given him, to follow their past behaviors and the ways that they have lived in the world. Jesus is supposed to return with them to Nazareth. And lo and behold, he doesn't. And this produces some anxiety. They have to search for Jesus for 3 days, which is a significant amount of time to have a 12-year-old on the loose in Jerusalem. And Mary is very clear with Jesus that this has not been a pleasant experience for her and Joseph. Child, why have you done this to your father and me? Did you not know that we were in great anxiety? This has been a rough 3 days for us, Jesus. You've been missing for 4. The first day we didn't really know until the end of it. And we can certainly understand how a mother would feel this way. And we would think Jesus also would have a kind and caring response to his mom. Oh, I'm so sorry I did this. But instead, Jesus pushes back and says there was never any need to be worried at all. Do you not know that I would be in my Father's house? God's taking care of me. And we hear that Mary and Joseph don't understand these words from Jesus. And we know that we can be a lot like Mary and Joseph as well. We too can have expectations of Jesus. We too can want Jesus to come and follow after us, to go in the paths that we are already walking. And we too can become a little anxious when this doesn't happen, when Jesus does not fulfill our expectations or act the way that we are certain Jesus should. We too can wonder, what gives? Jesus, why have you put us in such a state of anxiety? And when Jesus would respond to us, we too would probably find ourselves baffled and confused, unable to understand what Jesus would say to us. And what we're invited to remember today is that what we ultimately need to do is follow Jesus. Jesus is not to conform to our expectations of how he should be and how he should live. If he did, he wouldn't be able to save the world. No human has been able to accomplish this. We need Jesus to be the savior of the world, which means Jesus is going to have to function differently than we would expect and we would demand. And we have to recognize this so that we can follow wherever Christ would lead us. No matter how much it doesn't make sense to us, we are to go and sit at the foot of Christ and hear whatever it is Christ has to share with us. And one of the things we hear that Christ shares with us is this amazing good news that we heard on Christmas Day, that Christ wants us to be children of God. God's chosen ones, we hear in Colossians, holy and beloved. We are to remember that God chooses us, not because of anything that we have done, not because we have achieved a certain degree of favor with humans or with God, not because we have been able to keep the law. No, God chooses us simply because God loves us. Simply because God sends Jesus into this world to accomplish our redemption and salvation. And so what we are called to do then is to go and listen to this one who proclaims to us this good news that we are chosen of God, beloved and holy. And as we do listen to Christ, we, like those others gathered around him on this day long ago, will be amazed, utterly astounded at what Jesus would say to us. And yes, as we've already indicated, there will certainly be times we will listen to Jesus and, like Mary and Joseph, have no idea what he is saying to us. And yet we will still know, even then, that this is the one we must pay attention to. Christ is the one we must follow. Jesus is the one who offers us life. And as we realize this, we begin to recognize the ways in which Christ is clothing us with that compassion, that kindness, that humility, that patience, clothing us with love. We begin to recognize the ways in which we have been made holy because Christ has forgiven us of our sins. And as we find ourselves experiencing all of this, we can perhaps let go of some of those expectations we would have of others. We can bear with one another, even when we know they have messed it up so bad. They have fallen short of what we would ask of them. We are to offer forgiveness because this is what God has offered to us. We have fallen short of God's expectations of us. We have fallen short of what we should have been doing for God, and God has forgiven us in Christ. Surely then, we can forgive our brothers and our sisters. And this, I think, is what we gather here to do today. We gather here to come to the Father's house and hear Christ's words spoken to us. We gather here to remember what God has done. We gather here to give thanks and praise for what God has accomplished, to sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs of joy, of praise and thanksgiving for all that God has accomplished. And yes, we are gathered here today to practice this whole notion of forgiveness. That there may have been others around us today or others around us in our families who have fallen short of our expectations and who we in turn may have been short with. And we are to offer them forgiveness and mercy and to practice doing this. We might even do this with joy, remembering how God in Christ has forgiven us. And of course, we've had many gatherings these past few days in this holiday season. And so we know it is not just gathering that allows all of these things to occur. It's not just gathering that fills us with such thanksgiving, with such praise. It is not just gathering that helps us to practice forgiveness. No, we know that sometimes gathering can make it hard for us to practice forgiveness. No, what we need most in our gatherings is to be gathered in the name of Christ, to be gathered in the very presence of God. And this is what happens for us again this day, in this meal that we share. Christ enters in. We are gathered together by this one who has chosen us, by this one who shows up in this bread and wine and body and blood and continues to forgive us of our sins, continues to draw us together as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. It is here in this feast of grace that we find ourselves strengthened and nourished to continue to sit at Jesus' feet and to follow where Christ would lead us. We are strengthened and nourished to participate in the mission we have of celebrating and sharing the love of Christ. And yes, we are even strengthened and nourished to lift our songs, our hymns, our spiritual songs in praise and thanksgiving to God for what God has done. And indeed, as we draw near to this most precious gift of God's presence, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving and joy, and we can only cry out in response to all that God has done. Thanks be to God. Amen.